Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this morning's service. For those who haven't seen me before or don't know me, my name is Simon, and next to me is my wife, Lynn. And today we're going to be looking at Deborah. But before we do, the psalmist writes in Psalm 105, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always." Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for the day. We thank you that we are able to meet here this morning, and we hold on to your promise that you will be with us. Help us understand your word, Lord, and open the Bible to us. Speak to us through your words, and I pray that you will bring a message to us and that we will listen. Lord, be with us all now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first song is "Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise." Our reading this morning comes from Judges chapter 4.
Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, now that Ehud was dead. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Sisera, the commander of his army, was based in Harosheth Hagoyim. Because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, the bleeding Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah, between Ramah and Bethel, in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their dispute decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops, to the river Kishon, and give him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Certainly I will go with you," said Deborah. "But because of the course you are taking, the honour will not be yours. For the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. There Barak summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up under his command. Deborah also went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree in Zaananim near Kadesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera summoned from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon all his men and his 900 chariots fitted with iron. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariot and army by the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled on foot. Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all Sisera's troops fell by the sword. Not a man was left. Sisera, meanwhile, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because there were an alliance between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the family of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come, my lord, come right in. Don't be afraid." So he entered her tent and she covered him with a blanket. "I'm thirsty," he said. "Please give me some water." She opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink and covered him up. "Stand in the doorway of the tent," he told her. "If someone comes and asks you, 'Is anyone in there?' say, 'No.'" But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground and he died. Just then, Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. "Come," she said, "I will show you the man you're looking for." So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera with the tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, before the Israelites. And the hand of the Israelites pressed harder and harder against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they destroyed him.
Thank you, Lynn. Some very interesting names and difficult parts to that reading. So I think Lynn's rather pleased that's over now. I'm going to hand over to Matt now, who's going to lead us in our prayers of intercession. Thank you, Matt.
So if you'd like to just join us in prayers of intercession. Holy Spirit, how perfect is your love, your wisdom. May our hearts bless you as you join us in prayer. Forgive us for our harsh words and bitter thoughts. Remind us of the blessings you pour out as you work with us. We pray for your guidance as we share your gospel with our family and friends. Encourage us to spend more time in your spend more time in your divine and healing presence. Hear us right now, Lord, as we offer up our personal needs to you. Lord, we pray for our church. Holy Spirit, as we sit here peacefully in your presence as a church family, please lay on each of our hearts someone in our church family who needs our prayer. We bring to you those who have been on the prayer hub. We think of Karen's neighbour and his salvation, and we pray you will bless him, Lord, and bless her with the words to speak to him. We think of Jeff Colmer and his ongoing treatment. We pray for him and his family. Cover him with your healing hands, Lord, and bring strength to him and his family. Hold those in our church who are recovering and receiving long-term medical support. Walk with them, Lord, encourage them. I pray, Father, you wrap your arms around those who need you right now. Lord, we think of our community. Holy Spirit, engage our minds with yours as we work and revive our community in your name. We pray for all those kept awake or fearful because of the young men on motorbikes in our town. Help us respond in your name to this situation, Lord. Help us meet all their needs within the community. We lift up to you the lonely, the isolated, those struggling with addictions, and pray for your comfort upon them. We thank you for the local fire brigade, the doctors, and the other volunteer services like Marlow House and Desborough and Bloom who are serving our community. We lift to you those who we are personally thinking of right now.
Heavenly Father, we think about our country. We think about our government who has the responsibility given to them by you, Lord, to govern us as a people and us as a nation. We pray for your wisdom on the government, Lord, when they meet on the 14th and make new decisions about how the COVID restrictions are going to be hopefully further lifted. We pray that you grant them wisdom, Lord, and grant them the medical knowledge they need to make those choices, Father. We think of our NHS and we ask, Lord, that you bless the work of those nurses and those doctors and all of the staff, Lord, from top to bottom of the NHS, Lord, all working for the benefit of our health and our well-being, Father. And some of those services are so stretched and so challenging is the work, Lord, especially where mental health is concerned. I pray, Lord, that you might grant those that work in these areas peace at the end of their shifts, so that they can go home to their families, Lord, and be the mum or the dad or the aunt or uncle or grandparent that they are. I also thank you, Lord, for all these COVID vaccinations. You have blessed us, Lord, with great scientific minds in our country that have developed many of these vaccinations. And they are now pouring out into our country and beyond. And we pray, Lord, that that would continue to bring an end to this dreadful, dreadful disease that is afflicting the entire planet. Father, we do think of the refugees that are risking life and limb to cross the English Channel in little rubber dinghies, Lord, sometimes. Fleeing from tyranny, fleeing from oppression, and hoping that they are coming to a place that will welcome them and that will offer them a better way of life, Lord. We do just lift them up to you, Lord. And I do pray also for our Home Office as they seek to try and find out ways or come up with the right way in which to deal with the immigration issues, Lord. Father, I pray for those in slavery. In our country, we don't like the idea that we think that people might be in slavery here, so we almost ignore it. these people are forced and oppressed. They are silently abused behind closed doors because we don't want to hear their voice. And there is many, much other abuse that goes on behind closed doors, Lord. We lift this up to you. And we pray, Lord, that you might give them a voice to speak out and an ear that will hear them, Lord, and that will respond to them with love and kindness. Root out this evil from our country, Lord. We pray that you, your name would be holy all across our land. It would be lifted up as the authority in our streets and in our land. We pray that you would heal our country, Lord. But around the Lord, around the world, Lord, we think of the new famine that has been predicted in Ethiopia yet again, the genocide from the fighting that is going on, Lord. And we pray that the international community might move to prevent another catastrophe like we saw in 1984, where thousands of people a day were starving and dying, while countries around the world plough food back into the ground at harvest time. It just seems bonkers, Lord, that we would do such a thing. So we pray, Lord, that our international community would come together to share out the resources that the world has and share out lovingly. We do think of India and other countries, Lord, struggling with COVID, where it just seems to be running rife, Lord, and people are going without basic medical needs. Again, we pray that the international community might find ways to support and bring aid and relief to the suffering. Lord, be with those with your comforting arms who are grieving because they just have loved ones that have passed away in situations where simple medical treatment might have preserved them. I also think, Lord, of many, many women around the world who are oppressed, persecuted, and seen as second-class citizens just because of their biological cycles, seen as dirty and degraded because of it, Lord. We pray that this behaviour would be banished from our modern society. I also want to give thanks, Lord, for a Christian brother and sister in Pakistan, Sir Safkat Emmanuel and his wife, a couple who have been imprisoned wrongly for 7 years, have been cleared and freed, Lord, accused of blaspheming the Prophet Muhammad without any evidence. Father, clearly your intervening hand has been at work here, and we praise your wonderful name. I pray that you would now keep them safe from the mob violence that is so common. And I pray for all those wrongfully imprisoned and all those persecuted in your name, Lord Jesus, around the world. Father, I also just want to lift up Cardinal Reinhard Marx to you. His resignation to the Pope over this continued child sex abuse claims, Lord, that his report uncovered. And now he has said that he's taking this stand because he cannot stand by and do nothing in the face of these things. Lord, we lift him up to you and pray for your strength for him as he stands bravely, somewhat alone, against this injustice. May we also be willing to stand up against injustice whenever we see it and wherever we find it, Lord, because we are your truth in this world, that you pour out your truth through your scriptures, through your power of your spirit into our hearts, Lord, and let us stand against injustice. Father God, we're so grateful that we can lift all our prayers to you and you rain down the answers and the responses. Hallelujah to that, Lord. And we ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Matt and Maxine. Okay, hopefully you can all see that now. So today we're going to be looking at Judges chapter 4 and Deborah. So the life of Israel. Let's first set the scene. So there's been a clear pattern. The nation's fortunes follow a continuous cycle. Israel deserts God and follows heathen gods. In consequence, God allows them to suffer. Israel cries out to God for help. God sends a deliverer, and all is well for a generation. Then the cycle repeats. So let's look at Deborah then. Deborah was the fourth judge mentioned in the Bible and the only woman. She was a prophetess and a judge in the traditional sense, holding court under a palm and resolving people's disputes. She wasn't a warrior or a great military leader, but she was the leader of Israel. Deborah listened to God and followed his instructions. Even when the odds looked stacked against her, God had spoken to her and she followed. Is this how we would respond to God's call? Okay, then we'll look at Barak. Barak was a military leader and a general of the armies of Israel. So why then did he run away from the battle? Did he think he couldn't win? Unquestionably. He knew his physical limitations and based his judgments on them. Barak's timidity was due to a lack of trust and faith in the Lord. Verse 8 says, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." What was Barak afraid of? Did the odds not stack up in his favour? Was it the 900 iron chariots that he was afraid of? Maybe it was that Sisera was stronger and had more men. Was it because he wanted to stay on the slopes where the chariots couldn't get him? Chariots are difficult to ride and drive up slopes. They become unstable. We're not told Barak's thoughts about the battle, but we are told that due to his lack of faith in God, he wouldn't gain the honour and the victory. So, I wonder how many of us think we would have done things differently. I often read these accounts, and because I know what's coming, I can sometimes think that I would do things differently. I wonder if you think that as well. Do we often question God or refuse to do what he's asked of us? When it comes to our own decisions, we can't read forward and see what we should do. I'll often trust my own judgments. It's only afterwards that I think to seek God and his will. But by this time, often it's already gone wrong and it's too late. Does God choose the most appropriate people to fulfill his will? I want to say no, but the truth is God is always correct in his choices. It's our lack of faith in him. That's the problem. Moving on to Jael. We're not told much about Jael other than she may have been an Israelite. Initially, she offers Sisera what looks like the perfect hiding place. Only her husband or her father were allowed into the tent. Jael was to be the victor over the great warrior who Barak had feared earlier. What is clear is that she had the clarity of thinking and she was also part of God's victory over Sisera. I wonder how often we clearly see the direction and actions God wants us to take. And like Jael, we confidently take them. finally, let's look at Sisera, a great warrior and leader of the day. Sisera feared nothing. His faith lay in iron chariots. So how then was he defeated? God lured him into the valley to fight. It was a dry valley riverbed. We read in chapter 5, verse 4 and verse 21, that God sent rain and flooded the riverbed. Enough, in fact, to wash away the iron chariots. And the ground must have been so muddy that nobody could fight or get away. The iron chariots wouldn't move. Sisera's strength lay in the material things, the same things that Barak feared. All too often we place our faith and our trust in such things, our money, our possessions, or maybe our jobs, and we fail to see what God has for us, preferring instead to trust in our own decisions. We're all quite different. Our lives and experiences have taught us different things along the way. And as such, we see things from quite a unique viewpoint or hilltop. The difficult thing, and the thing we often forget to do, is look at things through God's eyes. How do we do that? By reading the Bible and through prayer. The less time we spend with God, the more the world will affect our viewpoints and change the view from the hilltop. Following on from the account in chapter 4 and chapter 5, chapter 5, the Song of Deborah, giving thanks to God for his guidance and protection. And I would encourage you to read this chapter later on in the week and remember what God did for Deborah. Our next song is Make Way, Make Way. But before we sing, I'd like to read the words to you. Make way for Christ the King in splendor arrives. Fling wide the gates and welcome him into your lives. He comes the broken hearts to heal, the prisoners to free. The deaf shall hear, the lame shall dance, the blind shall see. And those who mourn with heavy hearts, who weep and sigh, with laughter, joy, and royal crown, he'll beautify. We call you now to worship him as Lord of all. To have no gods before him, their thrones must fall.
Christ the King in splendor arrives. Fling wide the gates and welcome him into your lives. Make way for the King of Kings. Make way, and let his kingdom in. He comes the broken hearts to the prisoners to free, the deaf shall hear, the lame shall dance, the blind shall see. Make way for the King of Kings. Make way, and let his kingdom in. And those who mourn with heavy hearts, laughter, joy, and royal crown, he'll beautify.
So where have we seen this repeated? Jonah refused to follow the Lord's instruction and failed to do what he was asked to, instead choosing to run in the opposite direction. As we read the earlier accounts of the disciples, we can see reflections of the story of Deborah and Barak. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 26, we see that the disciples are in the boat with Jesus. When the wind gets up, they start to doubt and fear, and they're paralyzed and show a complete lack of faith. We can sometimes look at these accounts and see their mistakes and wonder, why didn't they trust and obey? Or like the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 24. All too easily, we can place our trust in the wrong things. Sisera trusted in his iron chariots and his own strength. Who are you trusting in today? Are you trusting in your possessions or money? Do you trust in your own strength like Sisera? Maybe you trust in your job or your position in the community. Do you remember every day to put your trust in God? Read his word and follow his teachings. Our next song is When We Walk With the Lord.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Oh, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the what he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Okay. So, we've heard the account of Deborah and of Barak and Sisera and Joe. So, some closing thoughts. Life is often described as a journey or an experience. In this example, we're going to look at crossing the road. We're all on a journey at different stages, and I wonder where you see yourself in these pictures. Are you asleep by the side of the road? Not really starting on your journey at the moment. Just quite happy, quite comfortable, but fast asleep. Are you stuck in the middle of the road, struggling with life and that journey? Wondering how you're going to carry on? Wondering what you're going to do? Are you busy crossing the road but distracted by other things? All too easily we can be distracted by things, following as we are, crossing the road, but not really paying attention. Not really listening to what God is saying to us on our journey. Not really following him, but distracted. Maybe you're just driving down the road on a completely different journey. Maybe you're not even trying to cross the road. Maybe you've not come across God. Maybe you've never received that invite to follow him, to follow Jesus. Or maybe you're safe on the other side of the road, your journey complete. But is it really complete? Today we've been looking at Deborah and Barak, Jael and Sisera, all on different journeys with God. We see the pattern of sin, crying out to God, God answering, and then peace. Do you see that pattern in your lives today? All too often, we can find ourselves in this rut of sin, crying out, God answering, and then at peace. And then the cycle begins again. Maybe God is calling you to himself today. Whether it's the first time you've ever heard that call, or you've been avoiding that call for some time now. Is today the day you will answer that call? Maybe you're like Sisera, trusting in your iron chariots and worldly goods. And God is calling you today to put your trust in him. Or like Jael, you see the opportunity to serve God and you take it without hesitation. Fantastic. What is God calling you to do today? What excuses do you give him, or what barriers do you put in his way? I know that I've put many barriers in his way, and Lynn and I have been talking, and we think it's probably between 15 and 18 years since I stood in a pulpit. There was always a reason. Initially, we'd started a family. We were too busy at work. Then I think people forgot about me. We had a minister and everything was great. You didn't need me anymore. So I slipped away into the background. And it wasn't until your church secretary asked me and put me back on the spot again that I realized that maybe I'd been running the other way. Maybe I'd got stuck in the middle of the road and I was just finding excuses not to do what God wanted. So again, I ask you, is today the day you will answer the call? And what excuses do we give? What barriers are we putting in the way? Let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for the account of Deborah. Thank you for the witness that she gave to you, Lord. She answered your call and followed. Lord, we pray that we would hear your call. The only way we can do that is to read the Bible and to pray to you. Lord, when we hear that call, we pray for the courage to act. We pray that you will be with us, Lord, and that you will hold our hands and guide us on our journey. Be with us now and for the rest of the week, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.